Good morning. Today's daf and erev in Sadi Vav. We're in Sadi Hamad Beis. We're halfway down in the Amud. We're at the two dots. We're starting this morning with the words of Ben Gamliel, Omer Shnayim Shnayim. Started yesterday, the 10th parak of the Masechta, 10th and final parak. And this parak, not much to do with Erevin and Eruv Eitchumim, Eruv Echatzeros. But meanwhile, it finds itself here at the end of Masechta's Erevin Tosus, first Tosus in the parak already. Gave a suggestion in terms of why this parak is necessarily here, but in the meantime, here it is, and we started the Mishnah yesterday. The Mishnah discussed a scenario in which you find tefillin out in the field on Shabbos, and you don't want the tefillin to just stay out there on Shabbos. The tefillin have Kedusha, and there is a idea of being shomer, of protecting and safeguarding the Kedusha, so you want to bring the tefillin in. The problem is bringing it inside would involve an act of carrying, so put the tefillin on and then bring them inside. So there are a number of factors over there. All the factors we're going to be going over the course of this morning in terms of what the considerations are. And the Mishnah brought down a really interesting machlokas between the Tanakam and Rambam Gamliel. Tanakam said that you can bring the tefillin in one pair at a time. You take a shel yad, you take a shel rosh, you put it on, and you bring it inside. You walk the tefillin inside. That is Shitas Tanakam. Shitas Rambam Gamliel of the Mishnah, Shnayim Shnayim. You bring him in two pair at a time. So you put on two shel yad and two shel rosh, and that's how you're going to walk him back home. Okay, so the Mishnah does not give any explanation to the shitas, and so good. So that's going to be our discussion today. We are inside Hamad Beis. We are taking a look now at the two dots right in the middle of the Amud. So Rabbi Gamliel, Omer Shnayim Shnayim, Maika Savar. The Gemara says, okay, so what's going on over here? What is shitas Rabbi Gamliel? Ika Savar Shabbos Man Tefillin. So if he holds that Shabbos is the time of Tefillin, as we're going to be covering over the course of this morning, later this morning, whether or not Shabbos is an appropriate time to wear tefillin or not is going to be subject to a debate. And right now, the Gemara is, without going through the debate, without explaining the debate, the Gemara is just assuming that we know there's a machlokas. And the Gemara is saying, well, let's take right now the viewpoint that Shabbos is man tefillin. So the Gemara says, if that's true, so zuge echad in tefillo. So I can understand how Rabbi Gamliel would allow you to wear one pair of tefillin. One pair of tefillin is a mitzvah. And we're assuming right now the Shabbos is Mont Tefillin. So good. So that I can understand. But I can't understand taking two pairs of tefillin because of a Shabbos loves Mont Tefillin. Who? And what are you going to argue? That Shabbos is not Mont Tefillin? So then in Mishum Hatzalah. So the Gemara says, and now, good. So what is the legitimacy? What's the heter of bringing the tefillin back in? Hatzalah. I'm going to be saving the tefillin. So Derech Malbush Sharle Rabbanan. Afilu Tvei Nami. So the Gemara says, so if that's true, so then what we're looking at the tefillin as is a pair, is clothing. It's malbush. So the Gemara says, if it's malbush, so then why are we capping it at two? So the Gemara says, l'olam kesef v'shabbos lav zman tefillin hu. So the Gemara says that really, Rabbi Gamliel is of the position that Shabbos is not zman tefillin. V'chisha rabban l'anyin hatzala. Derech malbush b'makum tefillin. So the Gemara says, and as far as Rambam Gamliel is concerned, the allowance that the Chachamim gave to bring the tefillin in is that you're not fulfilling a mitzvah, because right now we're assuming that Shabbos is not a Zman tefillin, but nevertheless, as far as saving it, so the Chachamim allowed it, but only Derech Malbush, only if you're wearing it as clothing. Because if you're not wearing it as clothing, so as a result of that, you're now carrying. Anything that's not clothing is carrying. So the Chachamim allowed it, but only Derech Malbush, only in the manner in which you clothe yourself in the tefillin. How do you normally wear tefillin? One pair at a time. So the Gemara says, that's the allowance for Rambam Gamliel. Which the Gemara says, okay, great, but Iachi Zogecha Nami in Tefillo. So the Gemara says, okay, Derech Malbush, that's the heter. If that's the heter, so then bring the tefillin in one pair at a time. That's Derech Malbush, meaning you're not fulfilling the mitzvah, and the allowance is based on Derech Malbush, but Derech Malbush would dictate that you should be wearing only one pair at a time. And that's not what Rambam Gamliel said. Rambam Gamliel says you can bring in two pair at a time. So right now, we're still struggling to give shot in Rambam Gamliel. So Am Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak Makom Yesh Barosh Laniach Bo Shei Tefillin. So Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak says, okay, so here we're going to be Mechadesh. And the Gemara teaches us that, according to Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, there is room on your head for a second pair of tefillin. Now, a little bit later, we're going to be pinpointing exactly where the tefillin should go on one's head, where the bottom of the tefillin should go on one's head. But in the meantime, without having clarified exactly where they go, I mean, we know, but we're going to learn this this morning with pinpoint accuracy where it should go. But nevertheless, what Rav Shmuel says is that there really is room on your head for two pair of tefillin, and as a result of that, it is acceptable to put on a second pair of tefillin? Because there's room for a second pair of tefillin. So the Gemara says, Hanicha de Rosh Yad Ma'ikal Amema. The Gemara says, okay, tefillin shel Rosh, two pairs of the tefillin. The Yad, the Shel Yad, also room for two. So right now the Gemara assumes no. In a moment the Gemara is going to backtrack on that. The Gemara is going to answer yes. But right now the Gemara assumes no. So Kid Rav Huna Dam Rav Huna Pamim Shadam Bab Min Asadem V'Chavi Laso Rosho. So the Gemara says, well, I'll tell you my Rav Huna says my observation, and that is people sometimes come in the field and they're carrying something on their head and they don't want their tefillin to be damaged. So what do they do? Misalkan Me Rosho Bekosho Bezroa. And so what they do sometimes is they take the tefillin off from their shel rosh and they put it on their arm, meaning they don't want their tefillin to get damaged, but at the same time they want to protect their tefillin. So what they do is they sometimes wear their tefillin on their arm. So what comes out from here is that there are occasions where the tefillin shel rosh is worn on the arm. So over here, what the Gemara is suggesting is that derech malbush when you put the tefillin shel rosh on the arm. So that's going to be our second pair of tefillin on the arm. So the Gemara says, "Ema damar Rav Huna shelo yinag bein derech bizayon." So ro'ui mi amar. So the Gemara says, "Okay, even after Rav Huna's observation, that's only so that the tefillin will not become a derech bizayon. It won't be degraded, disgraced. But he's not telling you that it's actually fitting to put tefillin on over there." And what we're looking for over here is Derech Malbush. We need Derech Malbush. Because remember, we are now bringing the tefillin home on Shabbos. So it has to be done in a manner that can be described as Derech Malbush. Derech Malbush means that, like we just established for the Shel Rosh moments earlier, that there's room on the head for two Shel Rosh. So that's Derech Malbush. And what we have to say over here is that there has to be room on the arm for two shel yachs because it has to be derech malbush. The only thing we've established right now is that, you know, sometimes people take the shel rosh and they put it on their shel yad, not because there's actually room for it, and not because there's a makom for it, but just simply because they don't want a derech bizayon. But that doesn't help us over here, because over here we need derech malbush. So the Gemara says, Ela kedam rosh mo berav yitzchak makom yesh berosh sheroi lanich bo shtei tefillin hachanami makom yesh biyad sheroi lanich bo shtei tefillin. So the Gemara says, okay, so what we're going to open up is the door to say that just like on the rosh, there's room for two shel roshes, so to on the yad, on the arm, there's room for two shel yads as well. Good. So what comes out right now is that what the Gemara is asserting is that according to Rabbi Gamliel, Shabbos is not Zman Tefillin. The allowance to bring in two pairs of Tefillin is because there is room, both on the head and the arm, for two pairs of Tefillin to fit. Therefore, on Shabbos, it can be described as Derech Malbush, and therefore you're allowed to walk it back in two pair at a time. Tan de Beit Menashe, the Gemara quotes the following Braisa. Al Yad Chazu Kibaris. So the Torah itself gives a description of where the tefillin go. But based on the Torah Shebichsav, it's a little misleading. So the Torah Shebaalpeh over here, the Brice over here, tells us where exactly you should go, both on the arm and on the head. The Torah says, Al Yad Decha, which would indicate that it's got to be on your hand. But the Gemara says, no, Yad over here goes further up. Kiboris, it goes on the bicep. And Beinin Echa. Now Beinin Echa, as read by the Torah, sounds like between your eyes. But the Gemara says, no, zekat kod. No, it goes on your skull. It goes on the top of your head. Heicha. So the Gemara says, can you further specify where it should go on the head? So Amid Debei Rav Yana, Makam Shemachu Shaltina Groface. So you look for the soft spot on the baby, on the infant. So that's going to be the border in terms of where the tefillin should go. So the tefillin should go anywhere between that area where the soft spot on the head is and moving up to the front of the hairline or where the hairline once was. That's the makom tefillin. And so now we've established where we put on the tefillin, both for the shel yad and for the shel rosh. Now, presumably, the Gemara over here, in terms of the shel yad, the two tefillin that are going to be fitting on the shel yad, so that's going to go on the bicep. There's room enough on the bicep for two, what I would imagine would be front back, okay, not side by side. What about the shel rosh? So the Gemara does not make it abundantly clear what exactly the room is on the shel rosh for two. Presumably, again, the Gemara doesn't specify this point super clear, but presumably also that too is front back, meaning that if you go from the soft spot on the head to where the hairline either is or was, so presumably it means front back in terms of shtei tefillin. As we know, I'll briefly describe it and discuss it. So as we know, so minhag Yisrael is to wear tefillin shel Rashi, And then there's also a minhag Yisrael to wear tefillin shel Rabbeinu Tam. How are there two different sets of tefillin? So machlokes between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, exactly what the order of the parshios are as they go into the four compartments of the tefillin shel Rosh. Tefillin shel Rosh have four compartments. Four parshios where the Torah describes the tefillin are written. They are put separately into the four compartments. The order of those four compartments. So the Gemara Menachos describes, there is a little bit of ambiguity in the Gemara Menachos, machlokus between Rashi and his grandson, Rabbeinu Tam, in terms of how to understand the Gemara Menachos, and so therefore it's a machlokus in terms of how to put the order in. So, baseline halacha, Rambam, also sides like Rashi, in terms of the specific order and where the parshios go. However, Rabbeinu Tam argues with his grandfather, and there are many, many who have the minhag of not only putting on the tefillin shel Rashi, but also putting on the tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam as well. Under that context, and given the Gemara that we just learned together, so presumably not only can you wear the Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, but presumably you can wear them at the same time. If you read the Shulchan Aruch, a simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch would indicate that those who wear Rabbeinu Tam could wear the Rabbeinu Tam tefillin, even at the same time that he's wearing the tefillin shel Rashi. If you've never seen anyone do that, so some Sfardim do it. It's a simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch. Meanwhile, the most Ashkenazim put on the Shel Rashi and do not put on the Rabbeinu Tam. There are some who do. But meanwhile, however, from our Gemara, there is an indication that would indicate that you could wear the Rashi, you could wear the Rabbeinu Tam, you can even wear them at the same time. Good. So anyway, back to our Gemara over here. Lema, just a highlight of Tefillin Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam. Obviously, a lot more. But anyway, we continue in the Gemara. So, Lema b'derav Shmuel b'rav Yitzchak k'miflegi. So the Gemara says, okay. So now we have given shot in Rabbi Gamliel in terms of how Rabbi Gamliel can bring in tefillin two pair at a time. And now what we're going to be doing, and this is really, we could call this the starting of today's daf, but meanwhile, what we're going to do now is that we're going to highlight what is the machlokas in the Mishnah between the Tanakam and Rabbi Gamliel. Meaning good. So now we've established Rabbi Gamliel. We're going to go back to the Tanakama. What is the sheet of the Tanakama? How come he says that you can only put on one pair of tefillin at a time? Why doesn't he agree with Rabbi Gamliel? Why does he disagree with Rabbi Gamliel? Good. So the Gemara is going to start off with a proposal. Lema b'derav Shmuel b'rav Yitzchak k'miflegi Tanakama leislei derav Shmuel b'rav Yitzchak Rabbi Gamliel islei derav Shmuel b'rav Yitzchak. So perhaps what is at the core of the debate between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Gamliel is whether or not we accept this shita of Rav Shmuel that there's room for two pair of tefillin, both on the head and on the arm. Rabbi Gamliel subscribes to that, and the Tanakhama disputes that. And the Tanakhama says that there's only room for one pair of tefillin, one shel Rosh and one shel Yad. Maybe that's the machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Gamliel. The Gemara says, lo, dekuli amma islu derav Shmuel b'rav Yitzchak. So the Gemara says, no, let's not go there. Let's say that everyone subscribes to Rav Shmuel b'rav Yitzchak, that there is room for two pair of tefillin, both on the Shel Rosh and on the Shel Yad. What's the machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Gamliel? So here we go. The Gemara now is going to propose four different propositions in terms of what the Nekudah machlokas is between these Tanayim, and we start here, number one. Now, all this can be discussed in tremendous detail. We're not going to be discussing in tremendous detail. However, I will follow the Gemara with Rashi over here. V'hacha, so here we go now, round number one. B'Shabbos man tefillin k'miflegi, what they're arguing is whether or not Shabbos is a time for tefillin or not a time for tefillin. Tanakama suffer, Tanakama is of the position, Shabbos man tefillinu. That Shabbos is man tefillin, Rabbi Gamliel suffer, Shabbos loves man tefillin. And Rabbi Gamliel is of the position that Shabbos is not man tefillin. How does that impact whether or not you are wearing one pair versus two pair? Let's see Rashi together. Rashi writes, Tanakama Safer Shabbos Man Tefillin Hu. So Rashi is a little bit above where we are in the Gemara. He writes, I'm reading the Rashi, Umishum Hatzala Lo Mishrei Bei Tvei Min HaMitzvah. So being that the Tanakama is of the position that Shabbos is Man Tefillin, so you want to save the Tefillin, that's fine, but you can't save any more than the Mitzvah. The Lav Tachshin Inhu. Because when you're putting the tefillin on Shabbos, according to the Tanakama, so that means to say that you're fulfilling the mitzvah. Anything more than that cannot be described as a tachshit. Tachshit is only when I'm wearing clothing. But when I'm wearing tefillin, however, according to the Tanakama, that's a mitzvah. So you can't just simply put on a second pair, even though there's room for another pair. You can't simply put on a second pair and say, oh, I'm just adorning myself. I'm just wearing the tefillin. According to the Tanakama, it's either a mitzvah or it's nothing. So v'choshekein de kevin desman tefillin hu v'ikabal tosif also iser bal tosif v'mashu yaleh kamasui. And then Rashi introduces the following. So now, what is that second pair of tefillin? We can't call it a tachshit, so what are we going to call that? We're going to call it a mitzvah? Okay, so now we run into the following problem. And that is the Torah tells us to wear one pair of tefillin. Putting on that second pair of tefillin, so that's going to be a violation of Baal Tosif. Since it's a violation of Baal Tosif, so what does that mean vis-a-vis Shabbos? Vis-a-vis Shabbos, so now that means it is a burden. It's not a mitzvah, it's not a tachshit, it's just simply a muster, it's a burden, and therefore you'd be carrying on Shabbos. That is Rashi's understanding of the sheet of the Tanna Kamma. Now we turn to Rabbi Gamliel, and we turn right to the next Rashi. Rabbi Gamliel suffers lav zman tefillin hu, v'hainu tam d'shar le'rabban l'had salah. So now Shabbos is not zman tefillin. What is allowing me to bring the tefillin from the field into my house? So it's because I'm saving the tefillin. Mishum detachshit hu. Now when I put them on, am I putting them on as a mitzvah? No, I'm putting them on as an adornment. So hilka kol kama davet tachshit sharei. So as long as it can be called an adornment, so therefore it'd be mutter. Umishum bal tosif leka hacha deinkan mitzvah tefillin klal. Now bal tosif over here is just simply na. It's not applicable because you're not doing any mitzvah right now. Elakish shar mabush ba'alma. It's just like you're wearing. And as we already established, wearing, how much room is there for your tefillin? There's room for two pairs of tefillin. So since there's room for two pairs of tefillin, so therefore, according to Rabbi Gamliel, it's not a mitzvah, there's no Baal Tosif, it's not a masui, so therefore all we're talking about over here is a derech malbush, and derech malbush allows for that second pair of tefillin to be worn on Shabbos. That is all one explanation, the first explanation of the Gemara in terms of what is the machlokes between Tanna Kamma and Rabbi Gamliel? Number two lines from the bottom on Sadi Hamad Beis. So Ibai Sam of the Gemara says, or we can make a second proposal. Dekuliyama Shabbos Zman Tefillin Hu. That really Shabbos is Zman Tefillin. That you can wear Tefillin on Shabbos. V'hacha b'mitzvah shrichus kavana k'miflgi. And the issue over here is whether or not mitzvahs require kavana. So Tanna Kamma Sava Latzeis by kavana. So according to the Tanna Kamma, in order to fulfill the mitzvah, not only do I have to physically wear the tefillin, but I also have the intentionality. I must have kavana that I'm wearing the tefillin. And Rabbi Gamliel sefer lo by kavana. Rabbi Gamliel is of the position that no kavana is required. Now, how does that affect whether or not you can wear one pair of tefillin or a second pair or two pairs of tefillin? So once again, we turn our attention back to Rashi. Rashi writes over here. We're starting Rashi. So therefore, you can't call it an adornment because Shabbos Zman Tefillin according to everybody. Over mitzvah tzrichos kavana k'miflgi. Rashi sets it up. What we're going to be arguing about is whether or not mitzvahs require kavana. Tanna Kamma Savra mitzvah tzrichos kavana. Rashi writes, Sha'os the mitzvah tzarech shi'chavein bo. When you are doing a mitzvah, you must have the intent that I am doing a mitzvah. Hilkach, therefore, zug echad in tfeilo. You can only put on one pair, not two. D'i mechavin lemitzvah, because consider now that I must have intent. Ika bal tosif bechad. So that means to say now that if I'm having intent, so now I'm violating bal tosif with the additional one. V'i lo mechavin lemitzvah. Now, let's say I don't have intent. Okay, so you know what? Let's just remove intentionality. Problem is, tarvayu masu ninu. Remember, according to the Tanna Kamma, without intent, it's not a mitzvah. Without a mitzvah, what is it? It's a burden. So Rashi says, ain't come mitzvah. There's no mitzvah over here. And so therefore, you are now wearing a masui. So you must have intention. That intention is going to be covering both. Second one is additional. Second one is Baal Tosif. No good. And again, we go back to the Rashi of the previous point, which is once it's Baal Tosif, so now it's a masui. I take out intention. Once you take out intention, so then it's not a mitzvah for either one of them. Then it's a masui. All right, I'm thinking, maybe you're thinking this as well, maybe have kavana for one, not have kavana for the other, but the Gemara assumes that's not how kavana works, or Rashi's assuming that's not how kavana works. Kavana is either I have kavana for both, or I have kavana for neither. Okay. Rami Gamliel Savar Mitzvos Lo Tzrichos Kavana. Now, that's the Tanna Kamma. What about Rami Gamliel? Rami Gamliel says that mitzvos do not require kavana, and therefore what? Rashi writes, Hilkach. Mitzvah ika bal tosif leka. So now we have a mitzvah and we don't run into the problem of bal tosif. Why not? The ain over a bal tosif, ela in kain nischavein lemitzvah. Because bal tosif is only when you have kavana. Vizel lo nischavein. And here, I'm not having kavana. Uvechol chad amri hai lemitzvah. And for each one of them, you could just simply say, it's for the mitzvah. Good. So that is how Rabbi Gamliel is going to allow you to wear two, because mitzvahs don't require kavana, and therefore you can wear both. And what about Baal Tosif? Baal Tosif is only when there's Kavana there, but if there's no Kavana, so there is no violation of Baal Tosif. Super interesting idea that's proposed over here by Rashi, that without Kavana there's no Baal Tosif. Okay, admittedly at this point in time, Rashi really struggles with the pshat that he just offered. Rashi has a different pshat, but the second pshat of Rashi is really predicated on a second girsa in the Gemara that Rashi has. What we're going to do is we're going to continue in the Gemara, but I'm just acknowledging that the pshat that Rashi offered, he himself is not thrilled with. You could see the continuation in Rashi for homework. But meanwhile, we continue. We are now on the top of Sadivav Amud Aleph, and now we're up to the third proposal of the Gemara. Meaning after the Gemara suggests that maybe the machlok is between Rav Shmuel, whether there's room for one or whether for two, the Gemara immediately rejects that. Everyone agrees that there's room for two. So if there's room for two, what's the machlok between Tana Kama and Rav Gamliel? So round number one, we said the issue was whether Shabbos is Zman Tefillin or Shabbos is not Zman Tefillin. Round number two, we said whether or not mitzvahs require Kavana or mitzvahs do not require Kavana. Round number three, Iba Yisema, Tapet Sadivav Amad Aleph. That the third explanation over here is Dekulei Amal Latzeis Lo Bai Kavana. That in order to fulfill the mitzvah, you do not require kavanah v'hacha, lavra mishum bal tosif kemiflegi. And over here, it's a machlokus within bal tosif. Tanakama sever lavra mishum bal tosif lo by kavanah. According to the Tanakama, bal tosif does not require kavanah. By virtue of the fact that you're just simply wearing a second pair of tefillin, even without kavanah, you're in violation of bal tosif. Rabbi Gamliel sever lavra mishum bal tosif by kavanah. And Rabbi Gamliel says no. That in order to violate Baal Tosif, there must be Kavana. You don't have Kavana over here, therefore there's no violation of Baal Tosif. Good. So the Machlokas is within Baal Tosif, whether or not Baal Tosif demands Kavana or does not demand Kavana. Good. That is our third way of explaining the Machlokas, E by Sema. The Gemara over here has a fourth way of explaining the Machlokas, and that is E to Srilan, to Shabbos, Mantfilin. If you subscribe to the idea that Shabbos is Mantfilin, Kolama, Lolav, or Baal Kavana, Velolat, says by Kavana. To violate Baal Tosif does not require Kavana. And to fulfill the obligation does also does not require kavana. V'ahacha belavor shelo bizmano kemiflegi. And over here the issue is whether or not whether or not there's Baal Tosif chutz lizmano, meaning that we're assuming right now that Shabbos is not zman tefillin, and now what you're doing is that you're putting on your tefillin on Shabbos, where the only mitzvah to put tefillin on is Sunday through Friday, but not Shabbos. And is there going to be a violation when you're doing something chutz lizmano, outside prescribed time? Meaning, let's consider. Up until now, the issue was the following, whether or not putting on a second pair of tefillin is a violation of Baal Tosif. Meaning, Baal Tosif over here is being discussed in context of, in addition to the mitzvah, the cheftza shel mitzvah. Over here now, what we're discussing is not Baal Tosif from a standpoint of the chefs of the mitzvah, but rather Baal Tosif in terms of zman, in terms of putting it on beyond the prescribed time. Is that a violation of Baal Tosif? Tanakama sever lo by kavana. So the Tanakama is of the position that no kavana is required. That means to say that one it would be in violation of Baal Tosif. One would be in violation of Baal Tosif even if it's chutz lizmano. Now, hopefully you're wondering, something sounds strange within the presentation of the Tanakama. Hold that thought because we're coming right back. Rabbi Gamliel sever lavra shelo bizmano by kavana. And Rabbi Gamliel says that if you want to violate Baal Tosif chutz lizmano, that requires kavana. And over here on this particular Shabbos, you're not having the kavana, and so therefore you're not going to be in violation of Baal Tosif. This is what the Gemara's proposal is regarding the machlokus between the Tanakama and Rabbi Gamliel. So the Gemara says, "Ihachi le Rabbi Meir zug acha namilo." So the Gemara says, and hopefully you were thinking this, and that is, wait one second. So you're telling me that according to the Tanakama, which the Gemara just quickly slipped in over there, that the Tanakama is Rabbi Meir. So according to the Tanakama, so one could be violating Baal Tosif even chutz lizmano, really. So how are you allowed to even wear one pair of tefillin? Isn't one pair of tefillin already going to be an issue of Baal Tosif? And so the Tanakhama says that you could wear one pair of tefillin. But that doesn't work. So ve'od, and furthermore, hayash b'shmina b'stoka yilaka. And on top of that, the Gemara says, here's what we know. We know that a person who sleeps in a sukkah on the eighth day is subject to malchus. Now over here, as Rashi explains, what does that mean? So first of all, We all live. right? We live in Chutz Aretz, so we are bound by Sfeika D'Yuma. But in Eretz Yisrael, where the eighth day is not Sukkos, the eighth day is Regel B'fnei Atzmo. So here, let's say, in Eretz Yisrael, you walk into your Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, and you say that I want to fulfill the mitzvah of Sukkah. So that is a clear violation of Baal Tosif. Not only that, you're lucky you're going to get Malkus. Now, as Rashi explains over here, I'm just going to say it outside. As Rashi explains over here, so what do we do? Meaning we, as per the instructions of the Gemara in Sukkah, so on Shmini Atzeres we go into the Sukkah, meaning the Chutznikim. So we go into the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. So isn't that going to be a violation of Baal Tosif? So it's not a violation of Baal Tosif. Obviously, the Gemara says that that's what we're supposed to do because of Sfeika D'Yuma. So why isn't the violation of Baal Tosif? Because we're not being mechavein to add to the mitzvah. We go into the sukkah because of the issue of Sfeika D'Yuma. But we're not looking to add to the mitzvah. So what we see clearly over here is that to violate a mitzvah, chutz l'zmano, there necessarily has to be kavana. Without kavana, there's no violation of Baal Tosif. So the Gemara says, so the suggestion that we just made, it's not true. If you're doing something chutz l'zmano and you're doing it with no kavana, that's not a violation of Baal Tosif. Okay. So the Gemara says, so this last explanation over here is fraught with problems. So the Gemara says, Ola machvarta kedishanina mikara. So the Gemara says, okay, so we're going to bail on this last approach, and the way Rashi presents it, we're going to bail on the second, third, and this last and this fourth approach. We're bailing on them all. We're going to go back to the original presentation. This is the way Rashi presents it. We're going to go back to the original presentation, which is that the machlokus between the Tanakhama and Rambam Gamliel is whether or not Shabbos is mantfilin or lav is mantfilin. Okay, let's just quickly summarize now the Gemara's proposals over here, vis-a-vis the machlokus between the Tanakhama and Rambam Gamliel. Find tefillin out in the field. You want to bring them home, and it's Shabbos. So what are you going to do? Tanakhama says you can bring them back one pair at a time. Rambam Gamliel says two pair at a time. What's the machlokus? So the Gemara has given. Well, first the Gemara suggested maybe it's a question of how much room there is on your tefillin. Where's the what's the amount of tefillin that can be worn on both your head and on your arm? The halacha of Rav Shmuel. The Gemara says no. Leave Rav Shmuel alone. No, nobody argues with him. There's makom for two shall rosh, there's makom for two shall yad, that everyone agrees to. What is the machlokus between Tanakhama and Rambam Gamliel? So on the bottom of the previous summit, the Gemara proposed two. On the top of our daf and our amud, the Gemara proposed another two. But the Gemara ends up rejecting, the way Rashi describes it, numbers 2, 3, and 4. Number one is a question of whether Shabbos is mantfilin or lav is mantfilin. Number two, a question of whether mitzvahs trichos kavanas mitzvahs do not require kavana. Number three, whether or not the violation of Baal Tosif requires kavana or does not require kavana. And number four, whether or not you're doing a mitzvah shelo bizmano, whether that's going to be a violation of Baal Tosif or that's not going to be a violation of Baal Tosif. Good. And I did that really in shorthand. Each one of them needs to be explained. We went through each one. We presented each one. Aliba Darashi. Good. And then the Gemara noted that the last one is fraught with problems. The Gemara says, okay, we retract. And the way Rashi understands it is that really, from this point going forward, the issue really is whether or not Shabbos is or is not Zman Tefillin. And by the way Rashi just presented it, it fits in now beautifully with the rest of today's daf. Because for the remainder of today's daf, the Gemara is going to go over this machlokus of whether or not Shabbos is Zman Tefillin or Shabbos is Lav Zman Tefillin. So, with that stated, let's continue. So the Gemara says, Zman Shamalei Shabbos Zman Tefillin. So who's of the position that Shabbos is Zman Tefillin? It's funny because really what the Gemara can ask at the same time is not who's of the position that Shabbos is lav zman tefillin, that seems to be the predominant position, but why Shabbos not lav zman tefillin? Meaning the Torah itself does not make any differentiation. The Torah just simply says put on tefillin. Torah doesn't tell us when to put on tefillin, whether day, night, weekday, Shabbos, right? The Torah doesn't mention any of that. So the idea that we're walking into a discussion in the Gemara where the Gemara assumes that, oh, you know, most of the position that Shabbos is not an appropriate time to put on tefillin. So that already is an interesting assumption, which understood that it's correct, but why does the Gemara assume that? And number two, like why don't we put on tefillin on Shabbos? What's the problem with putting on tefillin on Shabbos? The Gemara never establishes that as well. Fine, but in the course of the discussion, we're going to be able to answer some of those questions. But in the meantime, who subscribes to the view that Shabbos is, in fact, Zman Tefillin? Because the way we have it now set up in our Mishnah, so you know who holds that Shabbos is Zman Tefillin? So the Tanakhama of our Mishnah holds that Shabbos is Zman Tefillin. And that's why you only can wear one pair of Tefillin. Because that second pair of Tefillin, the way Rashi presents in the beginning, that second pair of Tefillin now is going to be a Masui. Because you can't describe it as a mitzvah, and now it's Baal Tosif, and Baal Tosif makes it a Masui. That's the way Rashi described it in the beginning. And Rabbi Gamliel says, no, the Shabbos is not Zman Tefillin. And that's why you can wear two pair, because that second pair, as well as the first pair, is not a mitzvah, it's a malbush. Good. So now the Gemara wants to know, so who's out there? Which of the Tanaim are out there saying that Shabbos is in fact Zman Tefillin? So the Gemara starts off its discussion. We're going to go four rounds of this. Round number one. So the Gemara starts off proposing that maybe it's Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva did tanya, we learned in the price of a shamarta as a chukah azos lemoada miyamim yamima. So it's the end of Parshas Bo. The Torah says you have to be shomer this chok. Which chok? So most of the Parsha was dealing with the Karm Pesach. At the tail end of the Parsha, the Torah talks about tefillin. So Rabbi Akiva asserts and assumes that this pasuk over here is talking about tefillin. So yamim v'lo leilos. So yamim, first of all, tells us that the time to wear tefillin is during the day, not at night. And miyamim v'lo kol yamim. And not every day, pra'la shabbosos v'yamim tovim. Not Shabbos, not yontiv, divri Rav Yossi Aglili. So that is Shitas Rav Yossi Aglili. Rabbi Akiva omer, lo nemer chukah zeh ala linyan pesach bavad. So Rabbi Akiva says, no. Yes, it's true at the end of Parshas Bo, tefillin is introduced. But this pasuk of the Shamarta Sechuka Azos Lamoadami Yamim Yamima, that's going back on Karban Pesach. It has, this pasuk is not describing tefillin. The Elahad is it not? So the Gemara says, okay, that's interesting, and it's problematic because of the first Mishnah in Krisos. The first Mishnah in Krisos, which goes through 36 of the 36 Isurei Krisos. Of the 36 Isurei Krisos, actually there are 34 Isurei Krisos and two mitzvahs essay, two positive commandments where failure to comply with those mitzvahs brings about an Isur Kares. HaPesach v'Amila, mitzvahs essay. So the Mishnah there in Krisos says that Karm Pesach and the mitzvah of Mila are the two positive commandments that one is subject to an Isur Kares if one does not comply with those mitzvahs. So Lema, the local Rabbi Kiva. Now you want to tell me that Mishnah in Krisos is not going like Rabbi Kiva? Why is the Gemara proposing this? Because the Ika Rabbi Akiva came in the Mukalab Pesach. Because remember, what did Rabbi Akiva just teach us? The Pasuk of Vishamata Sechuka Azos, that's talking about Karm Pesach. The Gemara says, we have a problem. So, the Mukalab Pesach, Lav Nami Ika. So, that means to say that now, Karm Pesach, in addition to being a mitzvah sesay, it's now also a Lav as well. How do we get there? Because we know, Kid Rabbi Avin, Amar Rabbi Eli, Damar Rabbi Avin, Amar Rabbi Eli, Kol Makum Shenemar Hishamer, Pen, Ve'al, Eino Ella Belo Sa'asei. That when the Torah introduces something with the words lo, now he doesn't say lo because self-evident. But when the Torah introduces an iser with the word lo, or with the word hishamer, or pen, or al. So they all formal lo sa'aseis of the Torah. And now we're saying vishamarta is describing Karm Pesach, and we just learned now that when the Torah introduces something with the words hishamer, vishamarta, obviously a derivative, so then it's going to be a lav. And so that means that the first Mishnah in Krisos describing Karm Pesach as an essay, meaning only an essay, not a lav. You mean to tell me that that's not going like Rabbi Kiva? That's very difficult. So the Gemara says, no, afilo tamer Rabbi Kiva. So the Gemara says, no, the Mishnah in Krisos is going like Rabbi Kiva. He shamer de lav, he shamer de assay. So the Gemara says, you have to understand that the word he shamer does introduce a lav, but you have to look at it contextually. In other words, he shamer can be introducing a lav if we're clearly talking about a lav. But if we're talking about an asay, so the hishamer of an asay is an asay. So it's not a flat rule that hishamer is a lav. Hishamer has to be contextually understood. Good. So the Mishnah Krisos can be going like Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara says, v'savver Rabbi Akiva, Shabbos, Zman Tefillin, who? But again, let's go back to our original proposal, which is that Rabbi Akiva holds that Shabbos is Zman Tefillin. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? V'atanya v'lent in a b'risa, Rabbi Akiva, Omer, Yachli, Yanech, Adam, Tefillin, v'shabbosos v'yamin tovim. I might have thought that I could put on Tefillin on Shabbos and Yantiv. Tamal Omer, v'ayelach ala os al yadcha, mishet, tzrichen os, yatsu ela she'ein gufan os. Yeah, you put on tefillin when there's no oath, but if there's a built-in oath to the day, i.e. Shabbos, i.e. Yontif, so then you don't put on tefillin on those days. So the Gemara says, so Rabbi Kiva clearly is of the position that Shabbos is lav zman tefillin. So in our first attempt to say that Rabbi Kiva holds that Shabbos is zman tefillin, it's just simply not true. Okay, a really interesting tosos over here, important tosos regarding halach lamaisa about tefillin and Chola Moed. So the Gemara says that Shabbos is an os, and Yontif is an os, and so therefore you don't put it on tefillin neither on Shabbos nor on Yontif. What about Chola Moed? Is Chola Moed an os? So, as we all know, major controversy. But the controversy starts right here in Tosfos. Sadi Vavam and Aleph. Top Tosfos. Top Tosfos writes, Nira da adashinan de laos al yadcha de besamach chasamach al lechora ein lanich tefillin b'chol hamoed. So Tosfos says, I think from here we see that you don't put tefillin on chol hamoed. Shein tzarech os de aser b'mlacha b'davar sheino aved. Because there's an iser malacha on chol hamoed. Now granted, it's a limited iser malacha, but still there's an iser malacha. And also, Tosfos writes, so interesting. Tosfos says, and you know, there are osos during Chol HaMoed of both Pesach and Sukkos. On Sukkos, we have a mitzvah of Sukkah. That's an os. On Pesach, what do we have? So interesting. He writes, we have an iser achilas chametz. That also is an os. Okay, much to discuss over here. But anyway, but Tosfos suggests there's no requirement, i.e. we don't put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed. But I'm stopping here in Tosfos. Go on in Tosfos. Right, I encourage you to go on in Tosfos, where he presents the other side of it, in terms of maybe we should be putting on tefillin during Chol HaMoed. Machlokes, between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, whether you put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed, Shulchan Aruch says that you don't put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed. The Ramah says we do. Still, many Ashkenazim don't. Ashkenazim and Eretz Yisrael, Bechlal don't. Okay, again, just a quick survey. We go on in the Gemara. Ela Haytana Hu D'Tanya, the Gemara says, okay, it follows the following Braisa, which is, meaning we're still looking for a Tana who subscribes to the idea that Shabbos is in fact Zman Tefillin. So this is now round number two. Haner B'Layla, so somebody wakes up at night, Ratzah Choleitz Ratzah, or someone who is awake at night. So Ratzah Choleitz Ratzah Meniach. Divrei Rabbi Nasan. So you have an option. You can take off your tefillin. You can leave your tefillin on. Yonasan Hakitoni Omer Eimanichin Tefillin Balayla. So and this Yonasan Hakitoni, right? Admittedly, does not come up that often in Shas. Don't ask me. I can't think of another place, but that doesn't mean anything. Anyway, so he says that there is no mitzvah to put on tefillin at night. And now the Gemara is going to make a logical leap, and that is Midalayla. L'tanakama, Zman Tefillin, Shabbos Nami, Zman Tefillin. Well, according to the Tanakama of this Braisa, so nighttime is Zman Tefillin. So it must be that daytime also is Zman Tefillin. That Shabbos also is Zman Tefillin. So the Gemara says that's not necessarily true. The correlation is not a perfect correlation. Dilma Sfirlei Laila Zman Tefillin, who Shabbos loves Zman Tefillin, who. It could just simply break it up, and we could say that nighttime is an appropriate time to put on Tefillin, but not Shabbos. The Rabbi Akiva Damar Laila's Mantfilin, Shabbos Lav's Mantfilin. Who? Look, we just broke it up for Rabbi Akiva. We know that according to Rabbi Akiva, Shabbos is Lav's Mantfilin, and meanwhile, Laila is Mantfilin. So the two don't not necessarily go in hand in hand. So the Gemara says, Ela Haytanahu. Round three now of looking for a Tana that says that Shabbos is Mantfilin. So the Gemara says, maybe it's the following. The Tanya we learned in a Braisa. Micha Bas Kushi Haytam and Echaz Tfilin. That Michal, daughter of Cushi over here, Shaul, meaning Michal, the daughter of Shaul, right, wife to David HaMelech. So she wore tefillin. Avlo Michu b'Chachamim. So the Chachamim didn't protest. V'ishto Shoyona Haisa Ola L'Regel. Avlo Michu b'Chachamim. In addition to that, also the wife of Yona. So she did the mitzvah of Elil L'Regel. Chachamim didn't protest. So Midlo Michu b'Chachamim Amakas Avrei Mitzvah Sasei Shalom Azman Gramahu. And so the Chachamim didn't protest. Why didn't the Chachamim protest? So presumably these Chachamim, whoever they may be, so they subscribe to the viewpoint that every day is a day to put on tefillin, which means that tefillin is a positive commandment that's not bound by time. It's a mitzvah sasei shalom azman grama. That's why they didn't protest. So the author of this Braisa is of the position that Shabbos is man tefillin, right? So the Gemara says, not necessarily Vidilma. Savrala, the Gemara says, perhaps, as we turn to the Amud Beis, Savrala Karebi Yosi, the Amar Nashim, some Chos Rishos. So the Gemara says, I don't know, maybe the author of the Braisa, the rabbis who did not protest to Micha Bashal and Nisho Shoyona, maybe their position is that really it is a mitzvah essay, and really Shabbos is Lav Zman Tefillin, but women can opt in on the mitzvah if they want to, right? If a woman wants to do the mitzvah of smicha with the carbon. So Rishus, they have an option of doing so. They're not mechuyev to do so, but if they want to opt into the mitzvah, they can opt into the mitzvah. And so over here, same thing. So Micha Vashal with the tefillin, so she's opting into the mitzvah. But not because she's obligated, she's not obligated because it's a mitzvah sesei shehazman grama. It's bound by time. There are times when you put it on, there are times when you cannot put it on. But she just simply opts in. Ilo tema achi, the Gemara says, and I'll tell you, this pshat that we're offering right now, it's really the right pshat. Because Isha Shoyona, Haisa Ola Larego Velo Michoba. So the Gemara says now, the wife of Yona, who did the mitzvah of Eli Larego, and the Chachamim didn't protest. What is that based on? So Mi Iglamanda Amar Regolav Mitzvah Sesesh Azman Grama. Now, there's not a more classic example of a mitzvah that's time bound. Aliyah Larego, that clearly is a time bound mitzvah. So Elaka Savar Rishos, Achanamim Rishos. So over there, clearly the issue is that whether or not a woman can opt into the mitzvah. So the Chachamim who didn't protest, they said the woman can opt into a mitzvah. Same thing over here with Micha Bal Shaul, a woman can opt into the mitzvah. Okay, women and tefillin. So we know now, historically, at least we can identify one person, one woman historically who wore tefillin. Rashi's daughters wore tefillin. I don't know if that's a fact. The people say it. I don't know if we have a source that really indicates that that's in fact so. But the daughter of Shaul did. And so we do have at least from the Gemara, historically, one woman who wore tefillin. There's a general discussion in terms of the appropriate nature of a woman wearing a tefillin, meaning we do hold, like the Gemara just said, that women can opt into doing a mitzvah. That's absolutely correct. In fact, for Tekiya Shofar, so not only do women opt into the mitzvah, but Minhag Yisrael. It's a well-established minhag that women who are not obligated in the mitzvah of Shofar, but nevertheless, women go and hear Shofar, right? That's a well-established minhag Yisrael. In terms of women in general and the appropriate nature of them putting on tefillin, so that is a discussion in of itself. Tosfos over here, really fundamental Tosfos over here in the bottom of the Amud, discusses and debates if a woman is going to opt into doing a mitzvah sesei, shazman grama, so do they make a bracha or do they not make a bracha on said mitzvah? Meaning they're not obligated to do the mitzvah, but they're opting in to do the mitzvah. So do they make the bracha of asher kiddushana b'mitzvosav, vitzi vana, you commanded us. So do they make that bracha? So major debate, Tosfos over here discusses it. Tosfos over here, Tosfos and Brachos, Daf Yudalid. Tosfos a number of places throughout Shas goes and discusses whether or not it is appropriate to make a bracha on a mitzvah that you're not obligated in doing, but rather you're opting in to do. Okay, and so and what you can see, what's this? Look at the big Tosfos on this discussion. Anyway, a lot of back and forth. The Rabbeinu Tam concludes that a woman does in fact make a bracha on a mitzvah she's opting in to do. The Rambam is on the other side of this issue. The Rambam says that if a woman is opting in to do a mitzvah, she does not make a bracha. She's not obligated to do the mitzvah, and therefore she does not make a bracha. And this turns into a machlokes between the Shulchan Aruch and the Rama. Shulchan Aruch says that women who are opting into a mitzvah that they're not obligated in do not make a bracha. The Rama says they do make a bracha. Good. We continue in the Gemara. We are on the top, towards the top of Tzadivav Amud Beis. So Ella, Hai Tana. So we are still looking. We are still searching for a Tana who holds that Shabbos is Man Tefillin. So the Gemara says, okay, so let's see if we can find it from a different Braisa. D'Tanya, we learned in a Braisa. Ha-motzei tefillin machnis and zug-zug echad ish ve-echad isha. Echad ha-rishos echad chadashos ve-echad yishanos divrei Rabbi Meir. So, in the Braisa, you find tefillin. It's the Braisa is like our Mishnah. You find tefillin. It's out in the field. You want to walk it in on Shabbos. So you can walk it in one pair at a time. It doesn't matter if a man finds it. It doesn't matter if a woman finds it. It doesn't matter if they're new. It doesn't matter if they're old. You remember yesterday in the Mishnah. The possible problem with new tefillin is that we're not sure it's tefillin. It may be a kameya. Okay, and we're going to come back and discuss that in more detail. But anyway, so that is Shitas Rav Meir, right? On the Amud Aleph. So the Gemara already slipped in this information. That the Tanakhama of our Mishnah is like Rabbi Meir. The Bryce over here says it beferish. And Rabbi Yehuda oser bechadashos umatir biyishanos. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, the new tefillin you don't bring in. The old tefillin that you bring in. Fine. So, but I can lo pligi ela bechadashos biyishanos. Now over here, Rabbi Yehuda says that as far as the chadashos and yishanos, that's the debate. Ava biyisha lo pligi. So, but when it comes to a woman, so there is no machlokas, meaning Rav Yehuda is of the position that a woman, when finding tefillin out there, can put it on. Shema mina mitzvah esay shelo azman gramahu. So you see over here that it's a mitzvah esay shelo azman grama, v'chol mitzvah esay shein azman grama, nashim chayavos. And so if it's not a time bound mitzvah, so then women are obligated in the mitzvah. So the Gemara says, okay, that's an argument. But the Gemara says, but I can give you another argument, which is v'dilma sevelak Rav Yosi damar nashim samchos rishus. So the Gemara says, okay, but can't we say what we just said moments earlier, which is that Rav Yehuda is of the position that really Shabbos is lav zman tefillin. A woman's wearing tefillin to bring it back in from the field. Yeah, because she can opt into the mitzvah, like we said moments earlier. Maybe that's the explanation. So the Gemara says, yeah, but over here, I'll tell you why that's not the explanation. Lo sakadacha, the lo, Rabbi Meir savala k'Rabbi Yosi, velo, Rabbi Yehuda savala k'Rabbi Yosi. So the Gemara says, because I'm telling you, we know that neither Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Yehuda agree with Rabbi Yosi in this idea that a non-obligated person can opt into doing a mitzvah. How do I know that? So lo Rabbi Meir savala k'Rabbi Yosi. So first, we're going to establish that Rabbi Meir does not agree with Rabbi Yosi. How do I know that? Did none. Ein me'akvenes etinokos milatkoa. Rosh Hashanah, your kid picks up the shofar and wants to, quote-unquote, play with the shofar, blow the shofar, great, right? You should promote that kind of activity. So, ha-nashim ma'akvin. Now, over here, the list in this Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah is very clear, meaning don't stop a child from blowing the shofar, but if a woman wants to blow the shofar, so the diuk in the Mishnah is that you stop a woman from blowing the shofar. So, v'stam masitzin Rabbi Meir. Now, that's a stam Mishnah. So we're going to assume that authorship of that Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. So clearly over there in that Mishnah, Rabbi Meir is telling us that that a person who is not obligated in doing a mitzvah cannot opt into doing the mitzvah. Good. So that's how we know that Rabbi Meir does not agree with Rav Yosi. V'lo Rav Yehuda savlak Rav Yosi. And Rav Yehuda also does not agree with Rav Yosi. D'tanya. For this, we learned in a brisa. Dabra b'nei Yisrael v'samach. B'nei Yisrael samcha v'emenos Yisrael samchos. So men do the mitzvah of smicha on the carbon. Women do not do the mitzvah of smicha on the carbon. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Shimon, Arm, Rabbi Nashim, Samchos, Rishos. And Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Shimon are of the position that if they want to opt into doing the mitzvah of smicha, they may opt in to do so. Meaning, they agree they're not obligated, but they certainly can opt in if they want to. Now, Vistam Sifra, who's the Tanakama of that Sifra? Right, what I didn't properly introduce is that it's a brisa, that's a sifra, specifically a sifra. Now, who is the anonymous Tanakhama of that brisa? So we know, Stam Sifra, Mani Rabbi Yehuda. So the anonymous authorship of the sifra is Rabbi Yehuda. With that stated, so now we've identified that the Tanakhama of that sifra is Rabbi Yehuda. So that means Rabbi Yehuda does not agree with Rabbi Yosi that a non-obligated person cannot opt in to doing a mitzvah. So now, in the brisa that we quoted earlier, where Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda were both of the position that if a woman finds tefillin, so that now they can put it on and bring it back in again. So we know now that both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda are not in agreement with Rabbi Yosi. A non-obligated person cannot opt into doing a mitzvah. So therefore, the only plausible explanation of the brisa for both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda is that it must be that tefillin is not a time-bound mitzvah, but rather tefillin is a non-time-bound mitzvah, and women therefore are obligated in the mitzvah of tefillin, and that is the explanation of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. And finally, we're here. So we got here, and that we found the Tanaim who are of the position that Shabbos is lav zman tefillin. It is the Tanaim of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, Adkan, we're going to stop over here. Tomorrow we start off with Tchelis and the sugya of Tchelis, and let's quickly recap. We started off with first an explanation of the Shita Rambam Gamliel of our Mishnah, that when you see the tefillin out in the field on Shabbos, you can bring them in two pair at a time. So bringing in two pair at a time, how does that work? So the Gemara introduced us to the Shita of Reb Shmuel, that there is makom for two pair of tefillin on the Shel Rosh, on the Rosh, and there's makom for two pair of tefillin on the Yad. And Rambam Gamliel subscribes to that viewpoint, and you can actually wear two pairs of tefillin in order to bring it in from the field. Now the Gemara says, good, now that we have established Rambam Gamliel, what's the machlokes between the Tanakhama and the Rambam Gamliel of our Mishnah? Tanakhama says you can only wear the tefillin in one pair of time, and Rambam Gamliel says you can wear it in two pair at a time. So what's the machlokes? So first the Gemara suggested machlokes is actually within Rav Shmuel. The Gemara says, no, everyone agrees to Rav Shmuel. There is makom for two pair of tefillin, both on the head and on the arm. The machlokes is, and the Gemara went through four different suggestions, proposals. Maybe the machlokus is whether Shabbos is mantfilin or lav zmantfilin, whether the machlokus is revolving around mitzvahs requiring kavana or not requiring kavana, whether to violate Baal Tosif requires kavana or does not require kavana, or whether or not there's a Baal Tosif of chutz lezmano, So that is the four proposals. The Gemara said that last one was really difficult. And the Gemara says, you know what? Let's go back to the first one. That's the way Rashi presented it. And so the machlokes between the Tanakam and Rambam Gamliel is whether or not Shabbos is Zman Tefillin or Lav Zman Tefillin, which then segues into the remainder of today's daf. And that is good. So we now know that according to the Tanakam, Shabbos is Lav Zman Tefillin. The Tanakam is Shabbos is Zman Tefillin. And that's why you're only capped at wearing one pair of tefillin. That second pair would be a violation of Bal Tosef. Good. So so that's the Tanakama's viewpoint. Rabbi Gamliel says, no, Shabbos is Lav Zman Tefillin. That's why you could wear both of them. But anyway, so that Tanakama viewpoint that Shabbos is Zman Tefillin, who's with him? Who's with the Tanakama? Or better asked, who is the Tanakama? Good. So that's the remainder of today's daf. The Gemara suggested maybe it's Rabbi Kiva, the Gemara rejected. The Gemara said maybe it's Rabbi Nassim, the Gemara rejected that as well. The Gemara quoted another Braisa. The Gemara rejected that as well. The Gemara quoted a fourth Braisa, the machlok is between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. But both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda both agree that a woman could put the tefillin on and bring them into the house on Shabbos. And we know that Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda do not agree with Rabbi Yossi that a non-obligated person can opt into doing a mitzvah. So therefore, the only way that we can explain Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda is that Shabbos Zman Tefillin Hu, which means that it's a mitzvah that says Shelo Hazman Grama, and that's why women are obligated in the mitzvah, according to both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, which gives them the allowance to put it on and to bring it back with them on Shabbos. So we've identified the Tanayim in terms of who says that Shabbos is, in fact, Zman Tefillin. Ad Kan.